talk Tua, take one.
It's that weird time of year where it's like I could rock the sweater and be a little sweaty and warm, or take the sweater off and be just a little cold. It's like, what is, you know, I have the air on.
It depends, though. Like, morning, it's perfect.
Yep.
Crisp out. Mm-hmm. Got a little dew on the ground. A
little dew.
But then, like, noon hits, and you're a little, you know, you got that back sweat building up.
Yeah, the
going into your ass crack.
Fall time back sweat is terrible.
But also, what feels good is when you have it, and you take the hoodie off, and then it's cold on your sweaty back.
Yep.
Yo, this is the fattest podcast.
This is the fat. Welcome to the Fat Fuck Podcast.
Welcome to Fat Ass United.
Yeah. Welcome to Fat Fuck Fridays. I'm your host, Mike Perillo. We have a very special guest today. I have my wristband on still from when I was apple picking. Excuse me.
Keep that on. That's a memento.
No, it's not. Memento. You ever see Memento?
That's a good movie.
I don't remember.
I might have.
Did I do that? Oh, I did. Like, that's the whole movie.
The camera goes to you, it pans back. I just got like Mark all over my face.
And fucking post-it notes everywhere.
I'm like butt-ass naked. I might have seen it.
So if you couldn't figure out who today's guest was, former internet icon.
Huge.
Now college student.
Whoa. How did this happen?
I don't even fucking know, but we're going to get into that today. We got Daniel Moyko, Daniel Moykins, a.k.a. Moyko. Alamo Harry from the Alamo. What was your other? What else? Is that it?
There was more. I forget what. Unk. I got Unk now.
Unk. Yeah, you're Unk status now?
I've aged into Unk. And at 22 years old. Which is kind of insane if you think about it.
Yeah. Well, you got married young.
That too.
And you're tall.
I guess.
You wear a lot of sports stuff.
Very true.
White shoes with jeans.
All right, listen. I'm Bruce Springsteen status right now. I got an American flag in my back
pocket.
You're the boss? I'm the boss.
I have Born in the USA on vinyl in the other room. An original pressing. We'll put that on after.
You just flexed on me in the middle of the podcast?
Yeah.
Original.
Original pressing.
Original pressing.
Gun to my head, name one Bruce Springsteen song. Name two, because I got Born in the USA. That's it.
It's the name of the album. That's the only one I know.
That's all I got.
Yo, Limp Bizkit, though. I could go through the whole discography right there.
I could fucking bum up some Bizkit.
I'm about to break.
Yep. What's your favorite Limp Bizkit song?
That's a tough one because...
First of all, I'm about to break is Linkin Park.
I know.
Yeah.
I messed up. It's
fucking...
Idiot! Cut this now. Cut this.
Ah.
But, yeah. I don't know. It's not called.
Dude, I'm putting him on the fucking spot.
Yeah, I know
right now.
Are. Well, again, I'm 2002. I got Limp Bizkit on my mom's iPod with the Linkin Park and Nintendo DS Flipnote Studio. Like,
damn.
Really grainy versions of Limp Bizkit.
Moyko, how you been? I haven't seen you in a while.
Yeah, last time we saw each other, we were bowling, which is an activity we frequent.
Yeah.
Which I genuinely love.
Which makes us more Unk status now because I notice as people age or you just.
The niche
have
sports.
Friends that you see in niche spots.
Yeah.
Like, I only see Carlo playing softball now.
Exactly.
I see Ronnie only, like, at work.
I only see Mark at the bank.
Yeah, like, only see Mark Alberti at the bank.
I go to the bank, and I'm like, oh, hi, Mark. Like, I'm not purposely, intentionally driving 40 minutes to go see him at the bank.
I live near a Chase Bank, but I want to go to this one in three towns over.
I live about 45 minutes away, but I'm going to drive to go make this deposit. And spend more on gas than I'm getting.
Just to see my friend.
Just to see my girl.
Everything's
pal.
Good though. I see. You're rocking some collegiate apparel.
This is the school I dropped out.
Is that the school you dropped out?
Yeah,
from?
When I was in high school. So now we can go back. We can do some storytelling.
All right.
High school, class of 311 people.
Damn.
I was 298.
311. You were number 298.
Yeah. 311. Yo, Amber's the color of your energy right now, Mike. You're glowing, dog. But. But, I was like 298 and a school accepted me. I know. Cause I did well on my SAT. I got like an 1150.
Damn.
And that wasn't bad. Cause I also was very much addicted to drugs at the time of my SAT. And I showed up and I was not in the best mind space, but I did them. I did very well. And the school was like, yeah, we'll accept you.
Fuck it. We'll take it.
Yeah. And it was in the middle of nowhere. Like,
where was it?
Delhi, New York.
New York? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
well, SUNY, obviously.
Yeah, but middle of nowhere. And I didn't know what I wanted to major in, and my mom did human resources. So I was like, yeah, I'll do human resources, which is so stupid because I don't want to do that. I was just trying to get away to To do more drugs, essentially.
To do more drugs and party.
Yeah. But I was in the middle of nowhere. Like, I was partying with, like, literally Amish people. Like, it was a farm school.
Cows. Like, was there an Applebee's in your town?
No.
That's how you know you're in the middle of fucking nowhere.
There was a ShopRite.
Okay.
There was a pizza shop.
Okay.
And there was a McDonald's next to a True Value hardware store.
Okay. Just some, like, random pizza shop, not, like...
That's yeah. anywhere, though. Anywhere in the United States, you know you're in a... Because there's a pizza shop and, like, a closed-down Chinese spot.
Yeah.
That was really bad.
And, like, a weird discount clothing store. Yeah. Like, all off-brand shit.
Yeah. Like, a TJ Maxx is, like, 20 minutes across town, and they're like, it's awesome.
And it's frequented very much by the college kids. I get you.
But,
So you dropped out. How long were you there for?
So COVID hit.
Oh, sick. So you were a COVID...
So, like, I was going to this school... to party. Like, I had no intentions of I was probably going to be there a semester and then be forced out of the school.
It's going to pay 3 months for $70,000.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, it wasn't that bad because it was, like, in-state and stuff like that. But COVID hit, and they were like, oh, well, we're doing online classes, no dorms. And I was like, no. So I just didn't do it. But that coincided with me... blowing up on TikTok.
Yeah.
And I thought that was the ticket.
You were TikTok famous for a hot... I had people there like, yo, you know Moiko?
Which is so weird.
Like that fucking tall, blonde...
We met around that time. That time was very
peak, like,
pivotal.
And I met you by not knowing who you were on the internet.
Yeah.
Which is probably rare.
I just showed up at the skate park and you were not tapped into TikTok at all. A lot of the guys weren't, which felt amazing.
Yeah.
Because everyone at my school knew.
Yeah.
And the only person who I knew was Mark... and Emilio. Those are the two guys that I knew. They were like, oh, just come to the skate park. And I'm like, yeah, I'll stop rotting in my basement.
Yeah, get like, out of your house.
Yeah. And I showed up, and there was like 30 guys there. And then that was the next like 2 years of my life, just showing up every day.
Just being a scumbag.
Yeah. Which is like, I look back on it now, like I've gotten sober. But like that time, I was still like more sober than I was like 2-3 years. I started doing like all the stuff I was doing when I was like 14, 13 years old.
Well, like drinking and smoking weed?
No, like pills.
You're doing pills that young?
Yeah.
Damn. Is there anything you don't want to talk about too at any point?
Oh, I mean, listen, it's all changed now. Yeah, I feel a lot healthier. I feel a lot better about where I am at life.
That's good.
But like those years, it's like a blur.
Really?
Like everything's all kind of like meshed together. And then like the skate park happened and I kind of woke up a little bit.
Well, yeah, it's interesting. Like I was talking about this the other day with a few homies at the park. It's like that time, that era is like gone now. And it's like we miss it fondly. Like,
but it's a beautiful moment.
It was a beautiful moment. It was definitely necessary. But as I get older, I'm like, I'm glad I'm not there 7 days out of the week.
That's the whole point of it, though.
Because where would I be going other than not skating that ledge because I can't land shit?
We were showing up at like 8 o'clock in the morning to either Meezy or the park.
Yep.
We were sitting there talking, skating, doing like essentially what
making
we...
skits.
Yeah, exactly. We did that for 2 years every single day until like 8 o'clock at night where we ended up going to someone else's house. And like it was fun. Like, we had fun, but we're all, like, older now, which is, again, so unk status to talk about on this, like...
And that was only, like, 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
But that frontal lobe starts developing.
It hit.
And next thing you know, you start a podcast.
Exactly. We're here now.
We're here.
Talk to a... I had to say it.
You know, so over the weekend, I was in the city.
Terrible place.
It's okay. I was in Manhattan for this table read. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I was doing this like theater workshop thing, whatever. And somebody made a joke about the talk to a podcast. And then your sister was like, oh, you should be on Mike's podcast. And the way the person looked at me when they're like, oh, you have a podcast. I was like, damn, I should.
That's a horrendous feeling. That's how I felt with TikTok.
It really is.
Like if someone's
because everybody has one.
Exactly. It's like, oh, you have a podcast.
It's like, where do you get off thinking people want to hear you?
Exactly. But that's how I felt with TikTok.
Yeah.
Because people would like come up to me. Especially like when we all went to concerts together, I was like Julius Caesar in that line, dude. It felt like my ego. Thank God I'm out of it now because it's made me like a much more grounded person. And looking back, I still was kind of humble in that moment. I wasn't like flexing
on
everybody. Cole
playing hamburger.
Yeah, exactly. No bun, just the burger.
Yeah.
And. But, like, in those moments, it felt insane. People are coming up to me. They're like, oh, my gosh, you changed my life. like, let me get a picture with
Which
you.
Which is crazy because, no offense, like, and I mean this in the nicest way possible, what the fuck did you do?
I lost weight.
People's lives.
Which was, like, the thing I understood.
The weight loss thing, but the rest of your TikToks were, like, chaos. Like,
I was,
screaming
I was joking
at, like,
about
Tottenham.
My ass. We were at the skate park, like, shooting dice.
Wait, maybe people... Maybe when people saw you doing
changed
that, go, I'm
my
not
life.
Doing that.
You changed my life.
There you go.
But, no, like, in those lines, it felt crazy. And then there's always somebody who's like, who's that? And it's like, oh, he's a TikToker. And I'm just, yeah, like, it sent, like, and then, like, I came down. I'm like, this isn't cool anymore.
It's weird because I wonder if, females have, like, female TikTokers versus male TikTokers. Because I, you know, everybody at one point in time were like, I'm going to make this video. I'm going to blow up. Like, all my stupid skits, like that one we just watched.
Yeah.
They're fun, but then I'm like, what the fuck am I doing, you know? But you were, like, how many followers? You were, like.
First account.
It's kind of a little alarming how many people knew who you were.
Yeah. First account, I had, like, 150,000 followers. I had, like. Millions of likes. Yeah. I was on ESPN, Barstool, Wall
you
Street
were on
Bets.
ESPN and Barstool.
I was on, like, all of these. Like, I'd probably say, views included, over, like, a hundred, like, several hundreds of millions of people.
People in Zimbabwe.
So, yeah, no, exactly. I'm followed by a guy who lives in Nigeria who's a huge Celtic football fan, up the boys. All
right.
He, like, follows me, and he just makes videos of him singing the club songs in a Celtic kit, but he's got, like, an African accent, which is because it's a Scottish team. It's so funny. I love him to death, but I'm still friends with him to this day.
It's
like, I got a friend in Nigeria because I got married because of
TikTok.
I was about to say, I got a friend in Nigeria on TikTok when I literally got married because of the internet. That's what came
your
to my
internet
mind.
Fame. Like, literally
parlayed into
you meeting your wife.
But that was another huge thing where people were like, you're so inspirational, because, like, I had that whole point where I lost weight and I was talking about, like,
found it.
I didn't even hear what he just said. I did find it again.
That's what I
said. 2 years of 2 years. No, it's true. 2 years of a loving marriage where she's cooking delicious meals for you.
Sorry.
But, I walk out. Oh! Insert Joe Rogan knockout.
Oh!
Yo, we put the full 15-minute video
That's
of
gonna
just
be the,
UFC
the thumbnail.
Knockouts.
The thumbnail is going to be
awesome. Oh!
Sorry, but you met your... Yeah, like...
Yeah. Like, I got married because of TikTok, and that was one of the things where people were like, you're so inspirational.
Yeah.
Because I lost all the weight. I was talking about trying to find a girl, trying to, like, you know, get myself in the relationship game, because I had never done that.
Yeah.
And then it just parlayed into me getting married and quitting.
And it was crazy, because I remember we were, I don't remember.
It was the skate park. I showed up to the skate park off the train.
No, but even before that, it was either... Illuminated stretch. It was one of those, like, the summer of 2022, like, diff projects that you were like, yo, this, like,
it might have been the soccer,
maybe. You were like, yo, this, like, Instagram model per whatever DM me, and I go, no way, that's fake. And
that's what I said.
Yeah. And you're like, I'm going to meet her. I'm like, it's gonna be a guy.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. Or it's gonna be like, you're gonna get catfished.
Probably.
Well, there is something wrong with catfishing. There is definitely.
Oh, for sure.
Wrong with that.
Spence, would you like to speak up on that?
I'll pass. Oh, yeah.
Next thing you know, you're dating her, and then you just get married.
Yeah.
And now you have a Reddit page dedicated to.
Well, that's another thing. So my beautiful wife Kelsey, I love her to death.
Shout out.
Would do anything for her. She has a very. Like, active following, but again, like you were talking about with girl followings and guy followings, the guys who followed me, like, loved me and, like, were inspired by me and, like, liked what I did and everything. And it was I've had almost zero negative experiences with, like, the group of people who followed me. Her, on the other hand, girls are a lot more critical of each other. They like the whole gossip page. No guy would have a gossip page about another guy. They'd show up to the skate park and they'd fight each other in the middle of the
swing.
Skate park.
Or at Pat Tarsio.
Yeah, at Pat Tarsio parking lot. They're getting down.
Only in Pat Tarsio.
Only
in the
bowling
world.
Alley parking lot.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. Like, they just, like, had this whole thing and they were like, oh, she's dating somebody and he seems poor. like, they were so, like, critical of me. But, like, I grew up very large in high school. Yeah. So I had thick skin. I was like cool with it. And yeah, so we kind of just kept the relationship private, respect.
Which is crazy because she does that. And they even more, they like, knew. Oh, she probably hates her husband.
Exactly.
And he's probably ugly and stupid.
They were like, I was expecting more Ralph Lauren model.
You're telling me this fucking handsome devil can't pull off a Ralph Lauren crew neck or something. I don't know.
I love Ralph Lauren, though. My style changed. I went from, like, Ralph Lauren 2012 Chicago South Side, like, the polo with the horse and, like, the Jamaican flag on the other side with, like, True Religion jeans and, like, off-white shoes to, like, their mainline collection. I'm wearing the polo now. I got, like, khakis on.
I miss your leather jacket and, like, Neo sunglasses era with the blonde spiky
that
hair.
That was – I honestly felt
like – cigarette in hand all the time.
That's another thing that I was thinking about that was crazy, too.
What?
How much I smoked. Like, I would wake up, I would smoke, I would then go to the skate park, immediately start smoking again. After I smoked, I would then have a cigarette, hang out and skate for 15 minutes going up and down the
with a cigarette.
With a cigarette.
Yeah.
And then sitting back down, smoking. Like, it was so bad. And now that I don't smoke, it's like a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Where I'm just like, wow, I don't wake up and my heart hurts. For a different reason now.
Yeah.
For a different reason my heart hurts.
Oh, is that – that's what that is?
The cannolis. I went from cigarettes to cannolis and now my heart hurts.
How many cannolis are you a day? You be eating a lot?
Bro, there's a bakery right behind my house. It's so good.
You go every day?
No. Oh. I can't. Because then this will turn into an intervention podcast.
It will. What was that really? Because obviously, like you said, you had fans that followed you, but then now your wife's fan base starts attacking you. Like,
they weren't
now
attacking
you're not as active.
They were because now she posts us and like on her, like, you know, TikTok, Instagram, all that. And it's all positive. Mm. Like, it's all like, oh, you guys look so beautiful together. You're so happy. It was the initial, like, when we were kind of keeping it private to ourselves, which is completely normal, by the
way.
Yeah,
100%.
Like, keeping a relationship private, especially for someone like her. That's when they were more, like, picky about it because they're like, why is she doing it? They didn't understand keeping a relationship private.
Yeah.
Which blows my mind.
Well, because people are so used to sharing everything on the internet. And when you are a fan of somebody, you
like, feel entitled to their life.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, again, it's hard for me to speak on because I was so open about everything. Mm. But that's ultimately because of the people who are following me, like, not having any issues with it.
Yeah.
I was telling them about, like, where I was in life, losing weight, relationships, struggling with whatever I was struggling with at the time. Even nowadays, like, I talk about, you know, how my, like, I don't do it as often, but I update people, sports.
Yeah, yeah.
I love talking about sports on the internet. That's
that time of year.
Exactly. If I'm going to parlay my following into anything, it's going to be a sports podcast that gets 60 views and I'm recording it on my phone.
Yo, that could be the next thing. We could have a second podcast through the Diff umbrella. It's just Moiko talking sports.
I would love that. Sports for me, that's like, I'm going to school right now to become a teacher. Ultimately, I just want to become a high school football coach.
That's your goal. That's we talked about the so you're back in school.
100%.
Where are you going to college now?
I don't know if I'm just where are you going to go? Here's my address. Here's my university. These are
all
my
you don't
teachers.
Want to even say where you're going.
I mean,
where are you going?
I'm going to community college.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So upstate. I understand why you didn't want to say. No, I'm just kidding. I went to community college and dropped out.
Rebel podcast life. I dropped out of community college for my podcast.
Yeah. I didn't even try. So you guys,
Spencer didn't even go to college.
Honestly, it's a noble route. It's a noble route. I tried it. It didn't work. I sold cars. And that was
you were selling Nissans for a hot second.
Honestly, for anybody listening who does not have like a set path in life and you're trying to figure out where to go, sell cars for like a year and you'll either just like be like, well, I make a ton of money, I'll just do this, or it's gonna put that fire under you to be like, I gotta get out of here because it's crazy.
Yeah.
Like dealing with people, especially when people who come into a car dealership are trying to fight you. Like, it's a war. Like, they're going in like, I'm going to screw this guy over. I'm going to get a deal. Like, and then they just be mean to you.
Are you so now, as a former car salesman, can you speak on this? Like, do salesmen and do dealerships purposely lie to customers?
Certain ones. Like, the one I was at, we marked our prices at lowest for a 75-mile range. And we had, like, probably a grand to two grand to work with, depending on how close we are to a sale and depending, like, what the car is. But, like, most of the time, I've seen it from other dealerships, they'll rob you blind. Mm-hmm. Like, now the car market's different. There's a lot of inventory right now, so you can get a good deal on a car. But back when I was there and, like, inventory was high but buyers were high, it was, like, insane. Like, I had somebody who bought a car at another Nissan dealership, a Nissan Kicks, which is the most god-awful vehicle.
Dude, Nissans suck.
Bro, Nissan they're suck. Bad.
Nissans are terrible.
I peddled them.
Car, like, just car.
Oh, yeah. Like, transmissions, 20,000 miles, you're praying it's lasting.
So, you said something earlier that was, like, magnificent. It's like, try selling cars so it either lights a fire on you to get the fuck out of there.
Or you're going to stick with it. You're going to sell 20 cars.
Is that what happened to you? Like, you were working some job. Was it because of the job or because of what you had to do to other people that made you go, I got to get the fuck out of here and figure something out?
Honestly, when you're making money in that moment, you don't really think about the repercussions. Mm-hmm. Like that, I think about it now and I'm like, that's really messed up. But like in the moment, you're like, I got to sell this car because I got to sell like 11 to 15 more to reach a certain quota to get bonuses. I have to sell a certain amount of new cars to get surveys, which then gets me a ton of money. Like you're a scumbag. Like you embrace being a scumbag. And now there are other people who like have a built up clientele. They bought a car from you 3 years ago. They'll only go to you to buy a car. Old people, like you're not worried about that.
Yeah.
But like I was selling cars to kids who had like $2,000 down, didn't even have insurance, like had to get insurance for it. And then I'm like, how are you going to make payments? They're like, oh, I'm working at Spirit of Halloween. And I'm like, that's a seasonal job, isn't it? And I'm like, yeah, I've been there for 2 months. And I'm like, what are you going to do afterwards? You're like, oh, I don't know. And you're just like I'm going to ruin you with this vehicle, right? I'm going to ruin you with this Sentra. This Sentra is about to put you in your whole life up, man. Like,
that's crazy.
That's terrible.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
Cars, if you ever come into money, whatever you do, do not finance or buy a vehicle on like lease.
No.
Like, do not do not.
Never.
You will never win. You will never win.
All right, hold on. We're getting off topic here with the Nissan.
Let's not talk about cars for an hour and a half.
All right, never talking about Nissan. But yeah, anyway, yeah, don't buy a Nissan. Yeah. So what? Why have you chosen to become a teacher now? Other than the fact you like to hear yourself talk and you want to be a football coach.
Exactly. Kind of talking about what we were talking about before, like the whole TikTok and internet thing. I kind of realized that like having an effect on people. And people coming up to me like, oh, you taught me this. Like, I learned this from you. You, like, inspired me. You did this. It gave me more of a sense of purpose than selling a car, acting in something with you guys. Like, no disrespect.
No, yeah.
But, like,
it never came out.
I loved doing that. Yeah. But, like, it didn't, like, fulfill me. And, like, having that, like, being in a certain way an educator gave me purpose. It gave me a sense of, like, I helped this person. Like, this person going forward is going to make a different life decision because of something that I either said or did. And, like, I thought back to myself when I was, like, getting addicted to drugs and when I was, like, leaving school early and doing all these terrible things. I'm like, if there was, like, one teacher who was, like, knock that shit off, you're smart, you have this, like, come sit in my office for three periods if that's what it takes. I probably would have turned out way different. Now, I wouldn't have gotten to where I am now, so I never regret anything I've done in the past. But ultimately, that is kind of what's given me the motivation to be like, you know what, go back to school, do 2 years of community college, save some money, go to a random four-year school around here, get that degree, start teaching, start substituting, start coaching, have an effect on these people. And it's just like something I'm really excited about doing.
Yeah, it's crazy, too. Like, when you're talking about all this stuff, I'm like, I keep forgetting you're 3 years younger than me.
Yeah.
And you're only 22. And, you like, when I was 22, I was nowhere near as, like, that. Like, those thoughts were not even, like, in my – they're barely in my head now at 25.
But, again, I feel like my timeline has kind of just accelerated, like, 10 years.
Yeah.
Like, most people – that used to hit people at, like, 18. Like that, like people used to go to high school, be like, oh, I'm going to work at my dad's mechanic shop or I'm going to go get a business degree. And nowadays, when I was in school, nobody knew what the hell they wanted to do. Nobody knew. And that's kind of led to people taking all these different routes and stuff like that. And I guess eventually they'll come back to that point where it's like, this is what gives me purpose. This is what I enjoy. I just hit it early. Like, it just came and hit me.
Yeah. And plus you had like a whole, you know, you, like you said, got all the bad shit out of the way kind of at a younger
age. Which is a blessing in disguise.
And just stuff like, you know, like you grew up without a dad. So.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I did too. But like,
no dad gang.
That does have an effect, whether you realize it or not.
100%.
Like, I know. My hair is going back crazy. That's why I'm wearing this hat.
Not having a male role model in a young kid's life.
Yeah.
It sets them on like a diverting path where they're either like going to just self-fulfill or they're going to like make that like male figure role themselves.
Yeah.
And like not mess off for the next like 12 years.
Yeah.
Like, and I feel like.
Or just like running away from the
all the problems,
yeah. Which is kind of, you know, like what you see a lot of, like a lot of guys, and I know there's girls that grow up, any gender child that grows up with a parent that took off or whatever, they're quite literally following in that parent's footsteps by just running.
Think about my dad. My dad was a drug addict, an avid gambler. He was abusive to my mom. Mm-hmm. He would just like lie and steal. He was literally taking me to OTB in Newburgh.
What's OTB?
Off-track betting.
Oh, my God.
Like, I was sitting in a cigarette smoke-filled room at, like, 5 years old with literal chronic horse gamblers, like, with the little note going, come on! Yeah, come on! Like, freaking out. I was there, and I was having fun because all the lights and all the people yelling. But, like, looking back...
Thought it was UFC.
Yeah, exactly. Oh! But, like... That environment, I was 2 seconds away from that. You know, like I was doing drugs. I was stealing anything I could get my hands on to either sell, or I was stealing drugs. Like I was doing all these terrible, terrible things. And you're always like, well, I'm not like my dad. I'm not like, I was just like my dad in those moments.
Yeah.
And it took me to kind of pull myself out of it and like realize that I got someone else who I care about more than anything in the world now. I got my wife. Mm-hmm. I've got my family. I've got my mom. I've got my sister. I got all my friends.
Yeah.
Like, I've got all these people who genuinely care about me, and I'm just living the worst version of myself. So it's like, you kind of just got to take the horse by the reins and just pull it back in.
What really was the key moment when you made, like, because some people realize these things, it can be like,
yeah,
catharsis of like, oh. This. That's I don't know if I use that word it. Right. Really? It just like hit you one day?
I met Kelsey in the city and I was completely enamored with this woman. We had already talked on the phone for hours upon hours before the first time we met, which is a week after we first interacted with each other. And she was in the boat where she grew up and she was very self-sufficient. She did everything herself. She built up her own brand. She was very self-dependent. Mm-hmm. And I was like, in awe of that. And then she told me, she was like, I really, really like you. I genuinely see a future with us, but I date very seriously. And I need to know that you are like going to be serious. And on the train ride home, I'm listening to Everlong by the Foo Fighters. And I'm just like, damn, yo, insert Everlong instrumental.
Wait, acoustic version or the
acoustic version?
Oh, where Dave Grohl's like, hello.
Oh, yeah. Deep in the bag.
Damn.
And I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, what is wrong with me?
Yeah.
Like, what am I doing with myself? I literally was sleeping in my car at the skate park a week before.
Yeah.
Because I got in a huge fight with my family. Yep, like, I was sleeping in my car at the skate park, which is like crazy. Like, to be alone in, like, that area, sleeping all night. And I was like, what the hell am I doing with myself? So, like, I went home. I took some serious self-reflection. I prayed about it, which is the first time I had ever done that in years. Like, years. I had never, like, sought anything ever.
Yeah.
I prayed about it. I, like, did very deep self-reflection. And ultimately, I kind of came to the conclusion, it's like, I care about this woman more than I care about, you know, doing drugs. I care about this woman more than I care about smoking all the time and posting stupid videos on the internet. Like, I care about her more than any of that. So if I genuinely do, I have to make the best version of myself to be with her. And it wasn't like she pressured me to do it.
Yeah.
She was like, we could still be friends. Like, we can still have some sort of, like, talking relationship, but I could never be romantically involved with you if you're doing all of these, like, bad things.
Yeah.
And, like, now it just seems like you're stupid if you don't do that. Like, oh, in order to be with the woman that I love more than anything, I have to put down a cigarette. Like, that seems like a no-brainer. But when I was in that weird mind frame, it kind of took a second, and then I had that moment, and it pulled me right out of it, and I kind of course-corrected.
Well, I mean, because you guys weren't dating for that long.
No.
So there definitely was, like, but, I mean, look, you guys are married.
I told her
so.
I would marry her on the first date.
Yeah.
Like, I told her straight up. Like, I was like, she was like.
It can be a scary thing, though.
Yeah.
Because I, like, I've been, I can't really, I mean, not with Kara, but, like, previous relationships that obviously didn't work out for obvious reasons. Yeah. I've been, like, presented, you have to change, and then the changes were the wrong thing.
Exactly. So, you have to know.
Yeah.
Like, in certain situations, if someone's, like, critiquing you and you're not really doing anything wrong, that's a problem because you're just being yourself. But in my case, when I was doing things that were actually wrong and, like, not being, like, a fulfilled person, that was my issue. Like, I knew what I was doing wasn't right.
And you think it came more from either the, so, because, like, the you're TikTok audience definitely probably incentivized your behavior a little bit more.
100%.
Because I've seen how people who have
I made
seen
videos
you in the
about
wild.
Giving cigarettes to children.
Yes.
like we're not gonna dance around this. Yeah. Like, I very clearly had an audience that was set up around this sort of, like, behavior, which, again, people, you can smoke, you could do whatever you want. If you're a productive human being, good for you.
Yeah.
To me, it was an issue.
Yeah.
Because it took away all motivation. It took away. It gave me purpose in life to be like, I'm going to wake up, smoke, go do this, smoke. So, like, that was everything.
Yeah, because your world went from being everything in front of you to just this fucking thing.
Exactly.
Like, so that, too. So that came with, like, you had to stop with the.
It also was, I grew out of it.
Yeah.
Like, I really grew out of it because, like, when I was making those videos, it came from a place of, like, boredom. And I also had this creative streak in me. Mm-hmm. And now I don't want to say I'm not creative now, but, like, I just do different things. Yeah. I wake up. I watch college football. I go bowling. I hang out with the bros.
Punk status.
Exactly. And so that kind of came out of a place of just necessity, making all those videos and doing all those things, because that's all I had. It was giving me money. I was getting paid from it, which was like I'm getting money out of thin air, essentially, which felt great. The ego part of it, and just like that's what I thought my purpose was in life, even though I knew it wasn't. I didn't get the same fulfillment out of it besides the whole influential part.
Well, it stimulates.
It's a game.
Yeah.
I'm making a video of my face. I'm putting it on the internet and I'm watching numbers go up and I'm like, yeah. Like, it's a game.
Which is so many people, that's their careers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's never it's like it's sustainable.
And when that goes down, you get into a panic. Like, you freak out because you don't know what to do.
But when you look, like, at all the views and all the TikTok shit, all the fucking, like, the hawk to a girl, all this, like, the audience and the people that are buying and feeding into this stuff are, in a way, doing, like, a similar thing of, like, they just want to be stimulated. They just want to, they want it. They don't want to worry about this self.
They do the opposite.
What
I was doing to fulfill my ego, they were consuming to, like, take their mind off of everything.
To avoid their own.
Exactly. Like, they didn't want to deal with problems. And I know it's stupid because everybody consumes media.
Yeah.
But to the level of, like, TikTok and Instagram reels where you're just sitting there going up and down and up and down, like, you're inundated with all of this crazy stimulus in your brain. You're burning yourself out. Like, you're wearing yourself thin. And it's just, like, you can't do that.
And I noticed, and recently for myself, like, I always try to not be on my phone as much as I can.
I love how this TikTok has turned into, I mean, this
TikTok. Yeah. Whoa.
I love how this podcast has turned into TikTok bad, Instagram reels bad.
Well, that's the thing. So, okay.
We got to make an Instagram reel about this.
Yeah. Yo, put Temple Runner at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah.
Get Family Guy funny moments in the top corner. And let's start doing Fortnite dances right in the middle of the studio right here. Top 10 best Fortnite dances.
Oh, my God. Yeah, from
Mike Perillo performing Chicken Bake from Costco.
Is that in?
No.
Oh, my God.
That would be insane.
No, I was going to say with TikTok stuff and Instagram, like, we're all guilty of it. We all do it. We all, like.
Oh, yeah.
So my day job is boring as fuck. I have a lot of time.
You're
to
on
let's
it.
Do nothing. There's nothing to do other than, like, drive or sit in a car.
Yeah.
Or sit in a van. and wait and wait. So I go on my phone, and then I literally yesterday took my phone. I was like, and I just threw it at the side of the van. And my boy Pat was like, why'd you do that? I was like, I was on my phone. He goes, yeah, I know, but what did you see? I go, nothing. I just threw my just
had
like,
to, I had to get rid of it.
I had to get rid of it because I
saw hot potato. Bro, you should get into audio.
It's fucking bad. But also at the same time, as like as a as a business owner whose business is creating videos.
But see, that's different because you're doing something.
Yeah. Like, but we still like it's still necessary for Dying Industry Films to be posting stuff like from this podcast or like me being like, hey, yeah, look yo, at this wait, new hold thing.
On. Time out. Let's start making Instagram reel baits like right now.
Of what?
So, of like what you would post on Instagram reels. So it's like yeah, you know, Megalopolis sucked. It's the worst movie ever made.
Uh-huh.
And then you would say something like, oh, it changed my life. And then we get into a fist fight and I walk out of the podcast and that's the clip.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the clip.
Like every
you post
time
on
the
Instagram
Island Boys
reel.
Walked out of a podcast.
Oh, yeah. Yo.
Yo, chill. Yo, yo. Whoa, whoa, dude.
Y'all
chill.
Y'all disrespect me like that.
Yo, it wasn't even that deep,
the
bro.
Far away.
And oh, then, like, their hat gets, like, hit by, like, they throw, like, a cup at him or some shit. Yeah. Fucking Instagram, bro.
Let's get into sports.
Speaking of Instagram, follow us on Instagram. Before we get into sports, though, I had one other thing. And I don't fucking remember what it was.
You want to talk about this Karl Anthony Towns trade?
Dude, yeah, let's talk. All right, fuck it. For the first time ever, we're going to talk about sports on this
podcast.
So the Knicks, we're like 3 weeks late, but anyway.
No, it's not. This happened like a couple days ago.
I'm not a Knicks fan. I'm a Nets fan. Moiko's a Knicks fan.
I'm actually about to walk out of this podcast. How have I known you for 5 years and never
I've always been a Nets fan.
New Jersey?
Yep. Izod Center.
Jason Kidd?
Yep. Richard Jefferson, Jason Kidd.
God bless him.
Brooke Lopez.
Oof.
Vince Carter.
Well, I've been a Knicks fan. You have fun stuff to say.
Not really. Well, we have one.
Vince Carter?
We have one Eastern Conference Championship, right?
What have I had? I'm Knicks a Knicks fan.
Yeah, the Knicks, they've never won. No, right?
No.
Yeah, right.
What is it? Like,
I thought the Knicks won in like the fucking 60s or something, or 70s.
Yeah, in the, oh, the 60s and the 70s.
Yeah.
I'm a Yankees fan. I count all 27 World Series. Yo, 1898. Yo, that was a crazy year.
Dude, 1902 when they hit that no-hitter off of.
Yo, slamming Stinky Joe, who threw with his leg all the way up here. Yo, that was my hero.
Yeah.
Yo, when was the first World Series? Give me a break. All right.
19? First World Series? There was, all right, so there was baseball championships because there was the American League and then there was like the National League.
Yeah,
there was
the pennant.
But then they merged into one league and then the World Series. Yeah, look this up. Jamie, pull up when was the first World Series.
Producer. That's what I was supposed to be. First World Series.
Yeah,
I let this coffee get just a little too cold.
1903.
So, like, from that point on.
Won by the Boston Red Sox.
Are you shitting me?
Very good.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That makes me very upset. I've seen one World Series.
Mm.
I've seen one Super Bowl for my teams. Nothing else.
Damn.
Nothing else. And I'm like a I've seen finals.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a huge Tottenham fan. I saw I saw them lose pretty much in the first 3 minutes of the game when we got a player sent off to Liverpool. I cried. I saw the Rangers lose a Stanley Cup to Los Angeles. I cried.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the Eagles lose to the Chiefs. What was that, last year or the year before? I cried.
2 years.
That,
not last year.
That ruined me.
Yeah.
That Eagles, like, when they ran out the clock.
Is this purely just your love for the teams that's bringing you, or did you have financial interests?
No financial interest.
That's
the only financial interest I have in any of my sports teams is I have a tattoo that I spent like $100-something on for Tottenham. That's
it's
the only
Tottenham Spurs bicep tattoo.
Yeah, that insert a picture of that right here.
Yeah, you guys just gotta send me a picture.
Put a different tattoo. Don't put my tattoo.
Put a Toronto's Raptors sleeve.
No, put Porky Pig in a Boston Celtics jersey tattoo on the screen right now.
No, put the old meme of like the dude pissing on the
other
team.
Calvin and Hobbs.
Yeah, but
pick two really random teams. Pick like a Calvin and Hobbs wearing a Milwaukee Brewers T-shirt pissing on like a Miami Marlins logo. Right. They're not even rivals. They don't even play each other. But no, like, I have experienced such heartbreak being a sports fan. It's honestly, it's insanity. Like that whole, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, not change. Like, I'm that.
with sports,
but I love it. Like I will never, like last year when the Knicks were in the playoffs, I cried. Like I get so emotionally invested in sports. It's crazy. The movie Miracle.
Yeah.
I cry to it every single time. Another movie I cry to, The Sandlot.
That, I love The Sandlot.
That scene where
he thumbs up to Smalls. And that always got me.
That gets me, but not as much as 4th of July, the whole block party. Yo, they're running out. That rendition. Who was that?
America!
Yeah, Ray Charles.
Oh, Georgia. Beautiful.
I think it's Ray Charles.
Auspicious.
It's like
guys.
That night we played.
I think oh my God.
Yeah, it's
we were all big leaguers under the lights that night, but only one of us didn't stop to stare up at the beautiful the beauty we saw, and it was Benny running the bases. Yep. I ball crying.
Yeah. I fucking love this sound.
Something line. About America and sports.
Yeah.
So amped. I get so amped on it.
Like
I'm not a political person. But when America, like, is doing anything, like, especially, like, this whole basketball, when I was watching Steph Curry light up those damn French bastards, I was so hyped. On the couch.
I become a nationalist when USA basketball.
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Close the borders.
Yeah. Close until KD, Curry, and LeBron score another goal.
Close the borders. Keep Joel Embiid inside of the border.
Facts. So, I remember when, like, you started making your, like, because we didn't see each other for a while, but like off screen, as I call it, is when my friends are going through character development, but I don't see them. You started like posting about like you were kind of opening up about like your relationship with like God and like getting 100% a little religious, which was funny to me because like my initial reaction was like, this dude's bullshitting. Like he has to.
Everybody thought that.
And I was like, what's crazy to me is like everybody's initial reaction to like when people like talk about like God. Now, there's two sides of it. There are people who are clearly bullshitting and just slapping a God label and a Bible verse on their bio, like mega church type,
they're
putting like God first in their bio to try to discredit the last 8 years they were like the worst human being.
Oh, 100%. It's like a they see it as like a PR move.
Him.
No.
Do you have anything in your Bible? I know.
He's got John 3:16 in a picture.
I think it says I'm in my bio or something.
I'm Spencer Conte.
Just I'm. But no, I said Spencer Conte.
So, what was that like for you? Like, you weren't very religious.
Growing up, I was.
You were.
My uncle was a Monsignor in the Catholic Church. He was the head of the biggest Catholic congregation in all of New York.
Damn.
He was a huge deal within the Catholic Church. So I was born and raised Catholic. He baptized me. He baptized all my cousins. He gave like a Christmas mass at St. Pat's in New York City.
Yeah.
I have a picture of me like at one of those masses.
Fire.
And like you can see like a celebrity by, I don't know the celebrity off the top of my head, but like growing up, I was very much in tune with my faith. And then of course, like the most middle school realization comes to everybody like, oh, God's not real. Like when, you know, you're kind of like growing up a little bit, and that like mixed with me getting very addicted to drugs kind of like took me off that path, even though I knew for the longest time, like the Catholic Church growing up, my mom was in a Catholic church where, you know, all the stuff that went on with the Catholic Church that was going on, she felt extremely guilty about putting her kids in Catholic school. And of course, me just rebelling as like a kid, you kind of get taken out of it. And she wasn't pushing it because she knew what she had been through.
Yeah.
And I had gone my entire life kind of just like not acknowledging God and not like, I never said, oh, he's not real. Like I never was like, I'm an atheist, but like, I never like put any pressure on it. And then like the whole situation with my wife happened. And I kind of like, when I prayed that first night where I came back, I was like, just looking for something.
Yeah.
So I start reading the Bible more. I kind of look at things through a lens now of people, like whether you like it or not, everyone has some sort of sense of spirituality, whether you believe in God, whether you believe in Allah, whatever, like Buddha, whatever you believe in. There is like such a lack of that for the past couple years that people are coming back to it. Like I see more and more people every day online younger than me saying like, I'm turning to God, I'm turning to this, I'm turning to that. And like, for me, it was always there. I just pushed it so far away because I felt so guilty and bad about it all the time that now I have no shame at all. I love talking about my faith and my spirituality with anybody who can listen because it's a part of me now. It's a part of my relationship with my wife. It's a part of my relationship with my mom and my sister now. I talk about it with them. I talk about it with my friends.
Do you feel like there's a lot of, and for obvious reasons, which I can understand, because everybody has at least had a bad Catholic church story.
100%. I had bad. I got pulled.
You know,
when my parents got divorced, I got pulled out of my classroom with my sister, who was in kindergarten.
Yeah.
And there was a teacher who said, "Your parents will burn in hell."
Yeah.
To children, to little children. Like, I know it's crazy, but like, I was in a very old school Catholic, very Irish Catholic guilt environment.
Yeah.
And that got pushed on me very heavily. And now, listen, you can be any denomination you want. You could be Protestant, Catholic, Episcopal. Like, whatever you feel is right, that's fine.
Except for evangelical.
Yeah. Evangelical. I low-key like the services when they're down there. Yes, Lord! Like, when they're freaking out. That's the speak that Holy Ghost language. Alhamdulillah! Like, that's funny to me. But, like, but, like, me, I don't see myself a part of any denomination anymore. Like, church is church. You go to church. If you're at one of the Catholic masses where they're burning the incense and you're singing the hymns, or you're at one of the newer style churches where they got the rock band going up there. Yeah, if you're at that mega church where they're dropping them in on, like, that maybe a little I'll have something to say about. But for me, I feel as though if you are secure in your faith and you read your Bible and you have like a community where you can kind of talk about it, it's an amazing thing because you don't need to prove to anybody but yourself. You don't even need to prove it to God. God knows what's going on inside all of us.
Yeah.
So for that to kind of be where I'm at now in my faith, I feel so happy about, because I don't have to be like, oh, well, I grew up in a Catholic church. Like, I'm so proud of my uncle who devoted his life to priesthood and to doing what he did. And he was a huge spiritual mentor to me. But I don't agree with him on everything. Yeah. I don't agree with him on a lot of different things.
And that's what I was going to say is, like, there's sometimes so much, like,
I got people who hated me.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. There's a lot of negativity when people...
People stopped being friends with me when I came out about my faith. I had people telling me...
Bro came out as religious.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Hey, everybody. I have a social media statement I need to make.
I think it's probably because, like, everybody's...
They have a very negative relationship with certain sects of people. There could be a person who is gay walking on the street, and you get a Westboro Baptist Church member with a sign that says a slur, all go to hell, change your life, and they're screaming obscenities at them. And they now think that's all Christians. That's all Catholics. Yeah, that's all everybody.
It's flipped the same way.
And it ruins people's relationship because now they don't get to experience what it would be like to self-reflect, read the Bible. Not even, like, read the Torah. Read
books on Buddhism.
Yeah, like, read anything.
I think
if it gives you a sense of spirituality.
Yeah.
Me, personally, I believe that Jesus died for our sins and he's forgiven all of us.
And on the third day,
I thought we were talking about the Carl Anthony Towns trade, and because I had this question.
Well, obviously, we've lost about 40 minutes of time talking about Nissans.
Yeah.
So I had to make it up.
I had to talk about God.
I had to backtrack.
We can make this a straight Joe Rogan 6-hour episode.
It's already hard to get people to listen on a weekly basis. Anyway, it doesn't matter who the guest, bro. Fucking
2-parter.
LeBron James can be my guest, and I still got 7 views. 13 on a good day.
You gotta understand, just when I say things like this, I also come from a very religious background.
Are you about to disrespect me, Spence?
No, I'm not. I'm literally commenting on just how it's like such a I found God story, I feel. What I mean? I'm not trying to be any type of way.
No, but that is, like, you can look at everything that has happened in my life, and you can condense it down to when I grew up, I had my spirituality. I lost it. It was in the worst, darkest period of my life. When I refine my spirituality, everything works out. I get a job. I find a wife. I now go back to school. I find purpose in my life. I still have, like, all of my friends. Yeah, I lost friends. But that is something you can't control.
Yeah.
Like, you can't control, like, saying how you feel, how you live your life, and then people finding a problem with that and then not wanting to be friends with you. I have no ill will towards...
I always go also go if like if you lost friends that quickly over something like that, then they were never your friend to begin with.
I hold no ill will towards those people. Yeah. I want them to be successful. I want them to pursue what they want to pursue. But when I have people like not attacking my faith, but being like, you know, that's not real. Like, why you're indoctrinated? You're this, and I'm like,
wrestling's not real. But catch me every Monday sitting in front.
It's real to me. Yeah. Damn it. What they do to their bodies.
Putting y'all bodies on the line.
Oh, my God. Run that clip. Yep. Why don't you?
Put it in.
What a powerful clip. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel about everything sports related.
Yeah.
Like, are you, like I see, like, Roman Reigns coming out. Gotta acknowledge.
The tribal chief.
The real tribal chief, mm-hmm. I might add. I'm sick of all this.
But back to, it's like sports. It's wrestling. It's
sports, wrestling, God, our personal lives.
Bowling.
And bowling.
Yeah.
That's what we can condense our lives pretty down much. To. But that's a beautiful thing.
I just
thing.
Think when people are, like you said, out about their, like, spirituality, whatever it is, the thing that they're, like, they kind of guide their life in the direction of, it doesn't have to be God. It doesn't have to be one thing, whatever.
But what I do find very funny is, spiritually, like, I've noticed that, especially when it comes to Christians, just because, or anyone who follows Jesus, what they associate that with is so negative.
Yeah.
Like, if I came out and I was like, guys, I'm a Muslim now, mashallah, like all that, I feel like I wouldn't have had any of that. You know, people have been like, oh, that's a very interesting spiritual journey you're going on. Like, and then now that I'm like, oh, I've, you know, given my life to Jesus, people are like, do you know what's happened? And I'm like,
are you aware?
Yeah.
I'm not going to educate
like
you.
Like, referring to what
exactly? Like, people, like
yeah, I'm familiar with Western civilization.
Exactly. like, oh, I'm going to apologize for the Crusades right now.
Yeah.
First off, I'm, like, Irish. As Irish as you can get.
Really, so didn't have much to do. The Irish were chilling. The Irish are the best, actually.
Balling at what cost?
I got one. All right.
Hit
so
me, brother.
Now it's time for balling at what cost. Do you know the rules of balling at what cost?
I'm vaguely familiar.
You're vaguely familiar.
Show me these items.
I'm going to list you three items. All you got to do is tell me the price from least expensive to most expensive. For starters here, we have a Pro Player XL puffer jacket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Can you show me a picture without showing me the price? Oh, that's nice.
Lots of Yankees stadium paraphernalia.
Ooh.
A Knicks puffer jacket.
That is so... Is that Mitchell and Ness,
It
boy?
Is a Mitchell and Ness Knicks Ooh. Puffer jacket from least expensive to most expensive.
That's fucking tough. This is a tough one.
So, as a Depop guy...
Yeah.
I was on Depop for a little bit when I was dead broke selling some of my stuff to buy a wedding ring, mm-hmm. which I also sold my car for.
Wow. That's love.
I sold my favorite car ever to get that wedding ring. That's real love. I became familiar with the prices of certain clothing items, especially vintage sports items. Now, what I will say is that Mitchell & Ness Knicks puffer vest is newer. I'm going to go the Mitchell & Ness jacket lowest.
Okay.
Cups Eagles.
Okay.
It could very well be the cups at the bottom. I do believe the Eagles is the most expensive item.
Okay. All right. So you're locking that in. Final answer.
I'm completely wrong, but yeah, I'm going to lock that in.
All right, we have locked it in.
Dun-dun-dun-dun.
And unfortunately, that is incorrect, Moiko. Very close. Very close. The cups, the Yankee lot of stadium cups was
$15.
Damn. $15 for all those cups.
I was thinking anywhere from like 20 to 80.
It was originally listed for 25, but it's now going for $15.
Damn.
The Mitchell & Ness puffer jacket was $65.
Around where I was thinking.
And the Eagles puffer jacket, 110.
Not too bad. I wasn't too far off.
Very close.
Wasn't too far off.
Didn't win ball on what cost, but hey, you got to be on the show.
I tried.
And that is just as cool. All right, moving on. As we close this out, Moiko, what do you got coming up? What are you looking forward to? It's that time of the year, you know?
I'm looking forward to the Eagles trying to string together wins. Mm-hmm. Actually, I'm not looking forward to that. It's actually a very depressing
prospect.
What's the record right now? We just lost again. I think we've lost twice and we've won three times. We're either 2-2 or 3-2.
Okay.
The Yankees playoffs.
Yes.
I'm so pumped on that.
This is our year.
A little less enthusiastic about the Knicks season because of Dante DiVincenzo leaving. I understand why it's happened now. like he wasn't going to have that big of a role in the team as he was last year,
yeah.
and he wanted first team minutes, even though we traded him to a team where he's not going to get first team minutes. But we got Cat out of it, who, again, I'm still not sold on, but, you know, God bless the Knicks. Notre Dame, we just beat Louisville. Very pumped on that. Two ranked teams we beat, so I'm looking forward to Notre Dame hopefully making the new college football playoffs. Playing a bunch of FIFA.
I meant like for you, not for like the teams that you root, but
definitely that's what
too.
I'm looking at. Like, okay. like that's what I'm like that school. Like I got school going on, midterms coming up, becoming a teacher, but that's years down the line. Honeymoon.
Okay. Coming up, a honeymoon?
Not a honeymoon, anniversary.
Anniversary.
Coming up on a year.
Wow.
We're thinking Japan.
That'd be cool.
That would be awesome.
That'd be cool.
So our buddy just got back from Japan.
I'm coming back with tons of Pokemon paraphernalia.
You gotta come back with a lot of New Japan Pro Wrestling stuff.
So. Oh, dude, if I can find some vintage, like Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
You know what else is out there?
They don't
there?
Have my size, though.
No, 100% they
don't. They got
don't.
My size.
You buy three and sell them together.
Yeah.
There's a lot and lots of prostitutes. It's very legal.
What? What did he just say?
Japan has illegal prostitution.
I'm going for my wedding, so I'm very much.
He's trying to
lots. I'm just making it.
Spencer's trying to go out there.
Last thing, all guests on the
alley,
show.
That was an alley-oop, Mike. What can I say? That was an
no,
alley-oop.
I know. But last thing before I close it out, before I do my close out.
Oh my gosh!
Everybody on the show gets either $20 or the mystery box. $20 or the mystery box.
I could use $20 for gas.
Yeah, but
the mystery box. God, you're bringing out my father's gambling instincts in my body right now. I'm itching. You know what? Just for the sake of the show and content, we will take the mystery box today. And I will hassle you for the $20 when the camera's off. Here we go. All
right. Yeah, nobody has taken the $20.
I love how
I'm the first
at least
cheap
every other. Yeah, yeah.
I'm the first. I'll take the $20.
Whoa, wait.
Ruin the.
When they take the $20, they have to immediately exit.
It's like, all right, get the fuck out.
It's what a random gift. So that is every year's Oscars best picture. They're like kind of postcard things. I bought them while
it was DVDs. No, I was so excited for a second.
It's I was like, worse. Damn, why are you giving that
I
away?
Gave you a stack of things.
Speaking of the Catholic Church, is this the cat? Is that it?
I don't know.
What is it?
Mark Ruffalo? Yeah, Spotlight.
So it's like
that was the movie about exposing the Catholic Church.
It's little postcards of every best picture winner.
That's Birdman. Really weird that that's the top one there after our
so,
conversation.
I don't know. Go crazy with it. That's what I figured. Anyway, all right, I'm going to close this fucking thing out. Moiko, we could talk off screen about
here,
some
business. I'll leave you Bridge on the River Kwai.
Yo, I don't think I've ever seen that one.
It's a great movie. Yeah. I've seen it. Right. I love it.
Well, everybody that stayed to the end, I hope you learned something because I know I definitely did. Like and subscribe. Comment. Follow.
Smash that subscribe
Follow
button.
Us on Instagram. I have to start holding myself accountable for things, so get episodes out more consistently and start doing pull-ups. Good night, America.
Facts. My Lady Fair, Audrey Hepburn, my wife's favorite actor.
Cut.